Welcome to the Sisterhood of Mommy Imperfect. This is Rina Dityanabil, aka Mommy Imperfect. If you haven't listened before, then what you been doing? Stick with me now anyway, right? And if you're a regular listener to this podcast, then welcome back. It's lovely to have you again. Hope you're all doing good. I'm doing good. Still haven't got my four-year-old child to sleep in her own bed since I did a whole episode on sleep issues a few weeks ago. Well, okay, she is sleeping in her own bed, but with me. I'm sleeping next to her in the single bed, the bottom bunk. Now, I'm trying to work up the energy to sleep train her, because in that podcast, if you want to listen back to it, it's called Sleep Tips for You and Your Kids. It's got very good advice there. My guest, Catherine, she gave really good advice. I'm working my way up to doing that. Until I work myself up, I work the strength up to do it, I just want to sleep, you know. I just want to get some sleep, and I want to stop wandering about from bed to bed at night, and stop my child from wandering about from bed to bed at night. I mean, yes, it does mean I'm not sleeping in my marital bed with my husband, but you know, there's always booty calls. Now, moving on, let's get straight into today's topic: the problem with women in Bollywood. Or is Bollywood misogynistic? I'm not quite sure what I'm going to call it yet, but let me tell you about why I wanted to talk about this. It's really been on my mind recently because of some things that I've been watching. So I recently watched the documentary Because We Are Girls on Amazon Prime. It's about three sisters, three Indian Punjabi sisters in Canada. They're from quite a conservative Punjabi family. Now, they're now in their 40s or 50s, but when they were younger, when they were children, they were all sexually abused by a male cousin who came to live with them from India. Now, the film looks at how the family dealt with this issue and how it affected them. Now, I don't want to get too much into it because I think that's a podcast for another day, and I think you should watch it. Definitely watch this documentary. It's quite, you know, you may be triggered by it, or you may come out thinking, you know, things need to change and everyone should watch this, but just watch it, okay? And this film was interspersed with clips from old Bollywood movies. And those clips just highlighted the inequality between men and women. And I also watched some videos recently from an Indian news channel where men, like random men on the streets, were being interviewed and questioned about rape and why it happens so much in India. And a lot of men asked seemed to think that women who were wearing revealing clothes and staying out late and stuff are just asking for it, you know, that it's normal, that it happens to them, and that's what happens. It's not normal, you know, and bearing in mind, the women that get raped every day in India, there's a high number. I don't know what it is, but, you know, a high number of rapes happen every day in India, and they're most likely wearing salwar kameezes and saris. It's ridiculous. So all of this got me thinking about South Asian culture and the link between Bollywood and whether Bollywood really is misogynistic and how that impacts society. Now, I don't know about you, but I grew up watching Bollywood movies like from day one. Apparently, I was like 2 years old when my whole family was watching Mother India, which was a 1957 epic film. And apparently, my mum and dad said I was well into it. So, you know, that was an amazing film, by the way. It's see, I think in that era, like the 50s and 60s, you know, there were films which had strong female leads, you know, Mother India, there was Guide, even Mughal-e-Azam, like, had a strong female lead in it. But I think Bollywood lost its way a little bit in the 80s. And the problem with Bollywood in the 80s is that they started showing rape scenes. Now, bear in mind, they did not show kissing scenes. So when it looked like an actor and an actress were about to kiss, they quickly showed like a bush shaking or like flowers. They shot a scene of like, yeah, flowers or something like that. So you never actually saw it. And also bear in mind that a lot of people like me never saw our parents be affectionate with each other. So you didn't see any grown-ups, any Indian grown-ups, kissing on the lips or on the cheek or even like hugging or anything like that. The only time when we saw that was in Western films and TV programs and things like that. And even then, our parents were like, switch it off now, what is this? Or, you know, we'd make an excuse to be like, oh, quickly, I need to make some tea or something, and then just not watch it. So the only kind of sexual stuff that we saw in these Indian films was rape scenes or attempted rape scenes. And there were like a few actors, certain actors such as Shakti Kapoor, Gulshan Grover and Ranjit, they became famous for portraying the role of rapists. Now the actor Ranjit reportedly confessed to having acted in more than 400 rape scenes alone, to the point where in the film Houseful 2, which was like a completely stupid movie, I'm sorry, but that is problematic in its own way. Anyway, so he played a therapist. Except in his sign on the wall above his desk, the E got partially unhinged from the board so that it reads the rapist. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of, you know, treating rape as a source of amusement. It just doesn't get any worse than that, does it really? Well, it does actually. Yes, because I'm moving on to stalking now. Stalking was another thing that then became very popular to portray in Bollywood in the 90s, I think, a lot. Like, Shah Rukh Khan, he became famous by playing these negative roles, and one of them was Daj. So that was is an example of one of those films from the 90s where he was just a psychotic stalker, you know. And I think in that film, he actually died, so he didn't end up with Juhi Chawla's character. But in a lot of films, stalking was just normalised. So there was a film, Tere Naam, with Salman Khan in, and he was horrible to this woman. Like, you know, the level of stalking that went on, and she ended up with him, and that was quite normal in a lot of films. So it's just like a weird, toxic view of what romance should be. You know, either you've got rolling around in the Alps in Switzerland, which is totally unrealistic, or you've got this weird stalker, toxic, psycho love affair going on. None of it's quite normal, and none of it is realistic anywhere, I don't think. Also in the 80s, I did watch a lot of films that were art films, because my mum was obsessed with Smita Patel, Shabana Azmi, Nasiruddin Shah and all that crew. So those films, I guess, you know, they weren't like that, but they were traumatic in their own way, I think. Now, when these rape scenes happened, and still when they do, the term uski izzat loot gayi was used a lot. So that means like a woman's honour and respect has gone. And so a lot of these rapes were done as just to kind of get back at family members and stuff. And this is what has been going on in India for years, for centuries, for decades, you know. And so it's not Bollywood that has invented this. It happened before. They're just, I guess they just glamorized it a little bit, I think. And it just became the norm, you know, instead of love scenes, which is obviously problematic. Let's talk about kissing for a minute. Kissing scenes, okay? Lip to lip kiss. That's what I'm talking about. Not kiss on the cheek, not like kisses and kissing on the neck and all this stuff, which seems to be allowed in Bollywood and has for a while. I'm talking lip to lip, okay? So the first time when I saw lip to lip kiss with my entire family in the cinema was on my 18th birthday when we went to the cinema to watch Raja Hindustani. So this was 1996. And it was a good film. Aamir Khan was in it, Karishma Kapoor. Now, there was a kiss on the lips in that film, and it seemed like the longest kiss ever. And because it's Bollywood, they had like loads of flashbacks, and I was like, oh my God, please no. I was mortified. That is not normal. That's not normal that I was so mortified just because my parents were there and I was seeing this kissing scene. Because, you know, we never saw that. Like, now it's common, you know, the snogging all over the place and stuff. Fine. However, then it wasn't. And even when I think about the movie Kabhi Alvida Na Kehna, which was released in 2006, made by Karan Johar. So Shah Rukh was in there, Abhishek Bachchan, Rani Mukherjee, Preeti Zinta, Amitabh Bachchan, you know. That film, still, they actually talked about sex quite a bit, you know. They portrayed like S&M at some points, And there was this weird scene where it's like the actors, Shah Rukh Khan and Rani Mukherjee, they might as well have kissed on the lips because they did this like weird like neck rubbing thing. And it's like, why don't you just kiss on the lips? It's okay. It is normal. Now, there ain't nothing wrong with showing a loving relationship with a bit of lip-sync, you know what I mean? Just saying. Something else which I think is quite problematic is item girls. Now, these are women that are not in the actual film and have nothing to do with it, but they pop up just to perform random dances in often unrelated songs, and they're wearing skin-tight, sexy clothing, revealing clothing that can be Indian, little choli, lehenga thing, or Western wear, and they're dancing suggestively with loads of men often leering at them. Now, a lot of A-list actresses have done these item numbers, and the songs often go on to become huge hits like Mundi Badnaam, Fevicol, Chikni Chameli, and so they're bangers. At the end of the day, they're bangers, and this is what they're picturized on, though. And it's just, when you really look at them, it's I don't know, it's not nice. What does it say about women? What does it say about that, you know, that it's okay for like loads of random old men to leer at this young girl who's writhing around on the floor to this song? I don't know. I think today women are still mainly in Bollywood for eye candy. I think meaty roles have been and still are few and far between, you know. And looks are so important to the point where you'll have like actresses like Amy Jackson, who is a white English accent, who made her breakthrough in Indian cinema, Telugu films mainly. She was obviously dubbed. Like, there is an actual dubbing actress, voiceover actress, who is assigned to Amy Jackson and some other people. And like, what other country do you find where a woman is just put into a role because of her look? She's not even of the you know, the ethnicity that is she's supposed to be, you know, but she's speaking like fluent Telugu because she's been dubbed. Who does that? You don't do that in Hollywood. It's ridiculous. Now, I did a little search online about the most misogynistic and sexist Bollywood movies. There were a few surprising ones for me in this list. You know, like my old favourite, Kuch Kuch Hota Hai. Apparently, that was on the list because, as I mentioned earlier, it was, sexist in a way. Then there was the film Cocktail. Now, this film's got two women in. One is Veronica, played by Deepika Padukone. She drinks, has parties, has a job. She's just, does what the hell she wants, really. Then the other one is Meera, played by Diane Penty. Now, her character was kind of like just a, you know, simple girl, a little bit docile, that kind of thing. And Saif Ali Khan's character, what he lusts after Veronica, ends up getting married to the other one, which is just a common theme in Indian culture, really. Then there was a film Ranja, which stars Dhanush and Sonam Kapoor. Now, Dhanush stalks a teenage girl in this. And it's just one of those dangerous films that doesn't seem like it's dangerous, but it is dangerous because it tries to make stalking look cute. No. Dabang was on the list because, I watched Dabang, and to be honest, I liked part of it. It was very entertaining. It was a massive hit. It's basically Salman Khan's Tinder profile. It is the film version of a Tinder bio, which reads, hashtag gym free, hashtag lover, hashtag man, hashtag cool. But the thing in it is Sonakshi Sinha's character, she plays his love interest. She's just like, the way that he treats her, you know, She comes out with this line, right? Which is like iconic line right now. Thappad se dar nahi lagta, saab, pyar se lagta hai. So, I'm not scared of slaps, sir. I'm not scared of your slap. I'm scared of love. Because he lovingly, in quotation marks, threatened to slap her. Not cool. You know, he basically stalks her, gawks at her, just gets her to marry him, really. It's not okay in any sense of the word. In any sense. Houseful is on the list. Houseful films, they just need women who have had their brains removed to come and act on there, because it's just, it's stupid humor. Like, I'm sorry if you find it funny. Yeah, okay, maybe it is funny. Akshay Kumar has done some really good films. I don't know what the hell he's doing in Houseful films. He looks bored out of his brain. He's just pulling silly faces, and I guess it's easy money for him. But the women in there are just, there's no point to them really, is there? On the list also was things like Pyar Ka Panchnama, which I wouldn't even bother with. And Kabir Singh. Oh my gosh. Now, Kabir Singh is a film where it's just the character, the main character played by Shahid Kapoor, is just the epitome of a misogynistic guy. He's just crazy. He basically goes off the rails because his girlfriend gets married off to somebody else. But in the film, the way that he pursues her is just really horrible, really controlling. And this, his love interest, Kiara Advani, I think her name is, the actress, she just plays this like simple, docile girl who just goes along with it. And you just want to slap her and shake her. And I read a lot of horrible stuff about this film. So I thought, okay, when I saw it on Netflix one day, I was like, okay, I'll watch this. I couldn't finish it. It made me feel ill. So that was only released like last year, I think. But yeah, I feel like I would have thrown up if I just got to the end of that movie. Now, it's important to remember that in India, there's no like pop stars or rock stars that are on the same level as they are here, you know, with the same level of fame and people obsessed with them. It's all about Bollywood, really. It's about Bollywood stars and the songs and the fashion and everything. It's just a massive industry that churns out so many films. And if I think about, does Bollywood influence society, or is it a reflection of society? I kind of think it's a little bit of both. And then when I look at women and female-centric films and whether they're changing, like I just look, like I said, at history, I look at things like Mother India, which was released in 1957, as I said, which was a massive female-centric film. And then, but in between, there have been other good female-centric films. So let's have a look at them. Bhumika and Mirch Masala stand out to me from the 1980s. They star Smita Patel there. Arguably more art house films than commercial Bollywood. But what else have we got? Because I looked at a list. Okay, so there was a Damini, which starred Meenakshi Seshadri. And she stood her ground for truth and justice. It's about a rape victim. So then there's also Gulab Gang, which was released in 2014. Madhuri Dixit plays a very an amazing role of a village woman who fights against domestic violence and the dowry system. That is a fantastic film. There's Pink, which was released in 2016. Amitabh Bachchan is it, but Tapsi Pannu and a few other female actresses take the lead in that. And it's a courtroom drama, really, about the importance of consent in a sexual relationship. And it's, I think, like the whole of India needs to watch that film. Seriously, I do. English Vinglish was a really nice film, released in 2012, starring Sridevi. She plays a housewife in a very judgmental family and decides to learn English and earn some respect. And she succeeds in doing that. So there's Mardani, which was released in 2014, starring Rani Mukherjee, who plays a police inspector, and the character is based on a real life police inspector as well. There is lipstick under my burqa, which was neck deep in controversy before even released for being too, in quotation marks, lady orientated. But it rose against all odds and it hit screens in 2017, like I said. It stars Konkanesh Sen Sharma, Ratna Pathak, amongst others, and it's based on the lives of four women who are attempting to break away from the norms set by conservative society. There was a Mary Kom in 2014, where Priyanka Chopra played one of the strongest female roles in Indian cinema, I think. She played the boxer Mary Kom. Dangal was in an amazing film as well, starring Aamir Khan and some really talented female actresses, young actresses. I can't quite remember their names, but that was a really good film. I'm very much about the girls in that. Kahani in 2012 was a very important film in changing the course of women-orientated film in a new age of Indian cinema, I think. So it's a story about it's about a pregnant woman's search for her missing husband and stars Vidya Balan. And she's in another film which has released this year called, let me have a look at this again. It is called Shakuntala Devi, which is a biopic of Shakuntala Devi, the human computer. It came out in May this year and it's now on Amazon Prime. Another good film, which is very strong female role that came out this year, is Panga, which is a sports drama film starring Kangana Ranaut in the lead role. And it's about a former Kabaddi player who struggles to make a comeback to the sport that she loves while managing her family. There is also a film which I don't know if this has come out or what is happening with it, but I read about it and it sounds amazing. It's Gangubai Kathiawadi. Now, it's based on Hussein Zaid's novel Mafia Queens of Mumbai, starring Alia Bhatt. So it's basically about a matriarch brothel owner in the 1960s. And apparently Alia Bhatt is amazing in it, and she is an amazing actress. But I don't know quite what has happened to that film. I can't find it anywhere. I don't know if the release was delayed because of COVID. But this year there does seem to be some really good, strong female centric films that have come out, and I just feel like more of these need to be produced. And there needs to be a way to have more of a strong role for females in the typical masala movie, which your average working class, middle class Indian person would watch, because that's where the message of change needs to filter through to, really. Not like, you know, upper class, hi-fi type people who already believe that men and women are equal, and well, most of them do, some of them do at least. But yeah, I just feel like for the masses, there need to be more meatier female roles, and I think that is a way to make a change slowly. And I don't know what your thoughts are. Have you seen any really good films recently which you think are empowering for women? Have you seen any films which you're just like, oh my God, I'm so ashamed that this came out of Bollywood, it's so disgustingly sexist? Let me know. Drop me a line on mummyimperfect@gmail.com. You can follow me on Facebook, Mummy Imperfect, or on Instagram at Sisterhood of Mummy Imperfect. Let me know your thoughts, and thank you for listening. I am so talked out because I've been flying solo, but I'm going to be back next week with a guest, so join me again next week. Please take care of yourself, stay safe, stay healthy. Bye.